Well, good morning. It's time for us to dismiss the children's church. If they missed that, some of them may have already left. They may have already gone. But there's Kirsty back there. She's waiting for you. She's waving in the back in the cafe. She sees you and you see her. And look how happy they are to leave. You adults don't get any ideas, okay? Because, you know, we got a good crowd this morning. Look around at the crowd. This is great. I'm so glad to see all of you, and I hope you're glad to see me. If you've been showing each other your dental work today, smiling at one another, that's always helpful. We're so glad that you came. We want to welcome those worshiping with us online as well. We're glad to have you. I know last week we started a new series. This week we're starting with the second part of that. If you missed it last week, I'm going to give a quick review. I'm going to give you the highlight, but it builds. Each week it builds on the week before. So try to be here for all of them, or at least watch them online, okay? Is this on? Can you hear me okay? Is everything? I'm just checking to make sure. All right, good. Now, here, you know, some of you have asked me, you may have noticed I was gone last month on vacation, and some of you have said, thank you for giving us a vacation from you. But anyway, I'm back, and while I was gone, we went to Birmingham, and we have our daughter, Elizabeth, and our son-in-law, Rob, and our granddaughter, Collins, there, and I've told you about them before. I'm going to give you a little snippet of the vacation, just a little part of it. What happened was that we went up there, and all three of them have a birthday in July. And they were so excited to see us because they had a list of things they wanted. And so there we were. I'm so glad you came to see us. Give me a hug and let's go shopping, okay? So we were so excited to be there. Our granddaughter Collins just turned 8. She is getting so tall. She's a head taller than everybody in her class. It's amazing to me. And she started 3rd grade this past week. 3rd grade. We always get a picture of her. Elizabeth always makes a picture in front of the front door the first day of school, so we can compare them over the years. Okay, so I've told you before that when we get there, Collins comes to my wife and to me. We're known as Honey and Buddy, okay? Honey, we need to go shopping. And I've told you before, we took her to the place that all little girls want to go. She wanted to go to Claire's, and we went there. We've done that, and we got all the important things at Claire's. There's nothing left. If you go to Claire's, they're out. Their stock is gone. Okay, and then we went to Old Navy, and she picked out an outfit, and she was really excited about that. And then we rode the merry-go-round, and then she made me ride the merry-go-round. And then we went to Chick-fil-A in the food court. It's a wonderful life because her mother shops online. Her mother shops with Amazon, so the child doesn't know that there are stores. She's discovered it now, and she's real excited when we come to town because we'll take her to shop in those stores because that's how we know to shop. What do we know? We're old, okay? So that's what we did. Now, the new part of that is, because I've told you a little bit of that before, the new thing is that while they were out shopping, I had had my quota of shopping. I know it's surprising, but I said, you know, I'm going to skip this last part. I'm going back to the house. That's why we bought a house in Birmingham. I can go there and they can just shop, okay? So I'm at home, minding my own business, just taking it easy. And then they make a decision. They say, we need to go in the Belk department store. Belk, you're familiar with Belk. Okay, they go in. Laura's looking, my wife's looking for some shorts. And then Lizzie is looking for perfume, and she goes up to the counter. She's asking for a specific perfume. But what they don't realize is that Collins has never been to the perfume counter in any department store before. She's just turned 8, and she gets to the department store and to the cologne and the perfume, and her eyes get huge. And this woman's letting Elizabeth smell the perfume, you know, try it. And Collins is going, you mean that I can smell all of this perfume? It's just another world. It's introduction to the, it's amazing. And so they have these little things. I don't know what they call them. I call them sample sticks, okay? Little sample sticks. And what they do is they take the sample stick and they spray it on there. But for Collins, this woman was a pro. She knew what she was doing because there's the mama and the grandmama. And so she said, I'm going to take time with this child. She's going going to buy a lot of stuff today. And so she wrote down on the sample sticks what kind of perfume it was so that Collins would remember that, okay? And some of it is a little bit sporty, all right? It's a little expensive, all right? So she gets all that. Then Laura, she gets her this little bag, and it's got these little samples, these little sample deals of perfume and a lot of sample sticks that she can do all this at home. It's wonderful. It's just a new day, okay? So she gets all that, and they say, now, we got to run to one more place, but you want to play with your new stuff, so we're going to take you to Buddy. So they bring Collins to me, and I'm at the house, and I'm sitting there, and she comes in, and she's ready, and whatever you're doing, forget about it, Buddy. Sit down and listen, because I'm going to show you, I'm going to introduce you to stuff. And so she says, sit down, Buddy, smell this. And she takes the little sample sticks, and she thinks she has to shove it up my nose so that I can. I said, hey, I'm old, but my smeller works just fine. If you'll just get it close, I can smell it. And so she puts, what do you think about that one, Buddy? I like that one. Do you like that? Okay. Here's another one. And she's got them. And she's going through the whole thing. She's telling me all about it. And I got an education on perfume. I could work at Belton now. I know everything there is to know about perfume and how to present perfume and how to help people purchase perfume. But that's not all. Because also she got lotion. You have to have lotion. I mean, why go if you're not going to have lotion? And she got cream. She got cream. Yeah. She did. And so, what are you laughing at? Hadn't you ever done this before? And so then she comes home and she says to her mom, now, Mom, I need you to get me a little alarm. Because in the morning before school, I want to get up and do my skincare. My skincare. She's 8 years old. She has skincare now. So she says, I want to do my skincare. And it's so many minutes, it does this. And then it goes off and she goes to the next thing. And she does it. She's ready. She is presentable. That presentation takes a while. But when she gets to the third grade, they know it when she walks in. Okay? She's there. She's got it all going on. Now, that was a wonderful thing. Now, here's the deal. There's a difference between knowing about perfume and experiencing perfume firsthand. Now, don't let that thought go, because we're coming back, okay? There's a little analogy here. You know, Collins has grown up, and she's heard about God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit all of her life. And Elizabeth and Rob have read little Bible story books to her when she was little. And they used to sing with her, and we sang with her. And you know, I've got video of her when she's 2 years old, and she's just in there in the living room with Elizabeth. And she's saying, let's do blessing. You know, it's not time to eat. She just wants to say the blessing because she's learned it, and she wants to say it with Lizzie. And she's just, her mind's just going nuts. 90 miles an hour. And then, you know, as she's getting older, she's learning from the time she's really small. She's in bed. She's saying her prayers. They're saying prayers together. I'm on the list. Honey and I are on the list. We made the list. We're on the first cut. We're included in the group of people in her prayer life that are prayed for every night. And she does that. And then now she started reading on her own. A couple of years ago, we bought her these two little age-appropriate Bibles. She gets in her bed. She reads those little Bibles herself now. She'll tell us about the stories. It's got pictures. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. And, you know, she just has that childlike faith. It's so special. She'll just tell you what God says, and then you just know it's going to happen, right? And then a couple of years ago, we did that. And then we would sing to her too, you know, and we would sing this little song, Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Have you ever heard that song? That's a great song. And what we would do, we'd get her to participate, and we would sing it to her. And when we got to mind, we would point to her, and she would say mind. She always knew it was her turn to say mind. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. When you hear me praying, I've got him on my mind. When you see me singing, I've got him on my mind. When you see me sleeping, when you see me playing, you know, I've got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. And last Sunday after church, I started off this new series. And this guy came to the door, and I was shaking hands with people as they were leaving, and he handed this to me. Now, you can't see it. It's really little. okay? But if you look at it close, it says on there, it says, Jesus loves you, right? He's got his hands out, and it's Jesus, and he loves you. And you know what he said to me? Everybody needs a little Jesus. So you know what's going to happen with this? I'm going to give it to Collins. That's what I'm going to do with it, because everybody does need a little bit of Jesus. I thought that'd be a good reminder. And I think she's coming down soon. It'll be in the news. You'll hear it. It'll be on the press. A lot of stuff. There'll be a press conference when she shows up. But I think they are, no kidding, coming down, maybe possibly for Labor Day weekend. Pray about that for me, okay? And if she comes then, she's going to get a little Jesus, all right? Now, I can remember as a child, I have fond memories because we used to sing some songs in church when I was growing up. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Now, I don't care who you are. That's good medicine right there. That's just a good word. Every time we sing that at the traditional service, I get fired up because I know that one. I remember that from childhood. You know, not too long ago, I heard Herschel Walker, a great, great running back for the University of Georgia. He's an amazing individual. And he said that when he was growing up, that his mama, when he was a little boy, she gave him a Bible. And she said, now, Herschel, as long as you have Jesus with you, you will never be alone. And he's remembered that all his life. He's remembered that. He still quotes that, his mama teaching him that when he was just a little boy. It's one thing to hear about Jesus, but it's a totally different thing to experience him firsthand. See, it's, whether it's perfume or Jesus or whatever it is, when you have that experience, it's totally different. It's like somebody turns the light on and all of a sudden you see things in a totally different way. And it's so moving and so powerful. This morning in my devotional, this was wonderful. In my devotional this morning, you probably read this. They had a wedding. And instead of the ring bearer bringing up the ring, because that's all I've ever seen in a wedding, they did something different. This couple decided to have a Bible bearer at their wedding. And this little child, little two-year-old toddler, he comes up and he's carrying the Bible. And it was their way. This couple wanted to testify of their belief and love for God's word, for the scriptures. And when they got that little Bible up there and the little boy brought it up and he gave it to them, as they began to look at it, because what do toddlers do? As they began to look at it, there were teeth marks all over the leather cover of that little Bible, because that's what children do. They put it in their mouth. That's the way they check it out and find out about it. And Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, there's a child giving a witness right there in church, you know, while they're having a wedding. Isn't that powerful? I love that. You know, I was in North Carolina one time, and I was just visiting churches, because that's what preachers do on their vacation. They go around weekdays. They just go around and they find churches, and you know, their kids and their spouses, they go somewhere and have fun, do something else. But, you know, preachers are looking at churches, and I was talking to the education minister of this one church in North Carolina. It's a big church. And I said, well, tell me about your church. And he told me all about it. And I said, well, now, do you have a good preacher? And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we got a good preacher. He said, if you serve this church, you got to be a good preacher. And then he said something I'll never forget. He said, if you're preaching at this church, you got to serve hot bread on Sunday morning. Hot bread. I don't want just anything. I want some hot bread on Sunday morning. Now, if you don't do that, they'll be nice to you. They'll make you a sheet cake and you'll be gone. But we want some hot bread on Sunday morning. Hey, I hope you get some hot bread this morning, because we're going to look at what Jesus said and what Jesus taught and what Jesus wants us to follow and how we can live for Him and we can walk with Him and talk with Him and be an example for Him. And last week I said the whole world is watching us in America. They are. And you know, they admire us and they look up to us. And what they do when they look at us, they learn how to act and what to do and how to be. And so my question is, if they're watching you and me, what are they learning? If they're watching us, what do they see? You know, we think maybe we have an influence in Panama City. You don't realize the ripple effect. You don't realize the impact that you have on people and they have on others and they have on others, and it goes out all over the world. And you don't realize it, but that really does happen. And so today I want to just say to you, what must we believe in order to be a faithful follower of Jesus? Because listen, if you don't believe in something, you're not going to talk about it, are you? If you don't believe it, you're not going to act on it. You're not going to do anything with it because you don't believe it. But if you believe it, you can't keep it to yourself. It's good news. It is good news. That's what the gospel is. It's full of good news. I told you I used to go to Publix and get a newspaper every morning back when they sold them. But I'm not bitter. Okay, so I would get the newspaper and they say, you're going to read some bad news today? And I said, yeah, I am. But I tell you what I'm going to do first. I'm going to go to my office and I'm going to get out my Bible. I'm going to read the good news first. I'm going to prepare myself for the bad news and see if there are any current events I need to pray about out there. And I'm going to read both of them. John Wesley said you ought to have a Bible and a newspaper in both hands. And so, why not? Because you want to bring the Bible to life. You want to make it contemporary. You want to help people understand it. You want to apply it and have illustrations about it. So what are the essential things? We're talking about today a fundamental list of things that are important. What are those fundamental things? Now listen, sometimes we get sidetracked. Sometimes we begin to get in the habit of doing certain things and we think that that's real important. We think those things are things that really need to happen. We need to hang on to those things, but they're not necessarily things you need to hang on to. They're cultural things that the culture says that you need to do, but really, they may not be biblical things. We may not need to hang on to those things. When I was in seminary, one of my professors said one day, it was so funny, he said one of the students at the seminary asked the professor, he was a preacher too, he said, would you go preach at my little student appointment this Sunday? I got this little church I serve. I'm a student pastor, and I got to be out of town. I'd like for you to go preach at my church. It's close by. And so the professor agreed to go. This really happened. And he agreed to go, and he went to preach. Now, that morning, when he preached to him, he read the Bible to him. But when he read the Bible to him, it was not the King James Version. Yeah, you see where this is going. It was a different translation, a different version of the Bible in this little country church. And this professor, he was a big, tall guy. And he said, when I got through, I went to the door, and I was shaking hands with people. And he said, this little old lady came out, and she took my hand, and she shook it, and then she looked me straight in the eye, and she said, now, if that, not King James, if that St. James version of the Bible was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. That's what she said to him. You know, they didn't have the New Testament when Jesus was alive, okay? Not King James, but St. James. Because for her, that was the only version that you could read. Well, look, there's different versions. There's different translations. But the main thing is, do you read it? Do you listen to it? Do you study it? Do you memorize it? Are you practicing it every day? Because if you just read it, but you don't do anything with it, you know, it won't mean anything. But if you believe in it, when you read it, you'll do something with it. And what a blessing it is when that happens, because then you can share it with other people. Now, Jesus looked at his disciples one day as they were traveling along. They're just walking along everywhere they go. He says, hey, who do people say that I am? And the disciples said, well, they say maybe you're a deceased prophet who has come back to life, been resurrected. They named a few of them. They said, maybe that's who you are. They don't really know. And then Jesus looked at his disciples and he said this, well, who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? And you know, Peter was standing there and he heard that and he spoke up. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, because the people around you, they didn't reveal that to you. You didn't hear somebody say that. That's not just something that popped into your head. That was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. He's the one who gave you that nugget to help you know I am the Son of God. I am the Anointed One. I am the Messiah. I am God's representative here on earth. I am God in a bodily form. If you want to know what God is like, you just look at me. Just listen to me. I can teach you all about God." And so we said last week, number one, Jesus is God's Son and our King. That's one of the fundamentals. That's one of the essentials. We've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son and our King. That's the first one that we're going to start with. And every week, we're going to build on those. And that was last week. So I hope you can see that. Now, Jesus goes on and he says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, he's saying, listen, God sent me here to you so that you can know me, so that you can know him. I'm going to be your introduction to the Father. And so the closer we get, the closer you're going to be to God. And when I leave, I'm going to leave my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, with you. He's going to take up residence in your heart. And then he's going to speak to you. And sometimes you're going to get convicted. And sometimes you're going to get encouraged. And sometimes you're going to be reminded of something. Because the Holy Spirit's always paying attention and always working and trying to help us be molded into the people God has called us to be. And so he goes on in Scripture and he says, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." He's making it crystal clear that he is God's Son and he is God. He's a representative from God. And then it goes on and he says, "From now on, you do know him and have seen him." He says, you know God because you know me. I've introduced you to him. And now you can spend eternity having a relationship with him. All you've got to do is accept me as the Son of God. That's why God sent me, so that you might have a relationship with us. Now, Philip is trying to be polite, and he's trying to be courteous, but he's thinking everything that all the rest of the disciples are thinking at the same time. And finally, Philip speaks up, and he said, Philip said, "Lord, just show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. If you'll just show us the Father," because we've already got the Torah, and we've already got the prophets, and we've already got the temple, and we've got the priest, and we've got history, but we're living in this country. And, you know, it's a foreign occupation of the Romans are here, and it doesn't make sense. Would you just show us the Father? And Jesus is thinking to himself, show you the Father? What have I been doing? What have I been spending? How many times have we walked together and had a conversation? How many questions have you asked me? How many times have I tried to show you what the Father is like? And when you've seen me, you've seen him. And over again, he's saying that. And Jesus answers. He says, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time." He's saying to the disciples, hey, pay closer attention because you're missing the main thing that I'm trying to communicate with you. And then he says this, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" Now, I want you to get this crystal clear today. There's God the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. They're three separate, and yet they're all one, united together. And there is no conflict between them all. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. There is complete unity. This is one together. And they all serve a purpose and they all work in our lives in a powerful way. And we can talk to them and spend that time with them and grow closer to them and come to know them even better. And Jesus says, you know, I'm the one this side of heaven. I'm the one. I'm the closest you're going to get this side of heaven to God. And someday when you meet him, you know, you've met him here, but someday you're going to see him face to face. And when you see him, everything I've been telling you, you're going to confirm that it's true. And you're going to know what it means to be a faithful follower of mine in this life and in the life to come. Because it's such a blessing. And what the amazing thing that took place was that there was this guy named Saul of Tarsus, and he was a Jew, and he was persecuting Christians. And he believed in what the Old Testament taught. He believed it, and he was practicing it, and he was trying to stamp out Christianity, and he was zealous, and he was trying to stop Christians, and he was even there when they were killed. And Saul was totally sold out on being a faithful Jew for God. And then he had this experience. I mean, he had read the Torah. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew. He had all the pedigree. But then one day he's walking along, and he has this new experience on the Damascus Road. And he had been just so embraced in the old covenant, but now he embraces the new covenant. And this guy who persecuted Christians, all of a sudden now, what's he doing? He's getting up and he's telling other people about Jesus. And he's standing up and he's saying, let me tell you about my witness. Let me tell you about me. Let me tell you who I was. Let me tell you what I did. And let me tell you how God changed me. And I'll never be the same again. And people look at him and they go, isn't this the guy that used to kill Christians? Yeah, he is. What happened to him? He got saved. And he's telling everybody all about it. And he wrote most of the New Testament. What a powerful witness he has. God has used Saul. He changed his name to Paul. He's a new person now. And he's moving in a different direction. And in Colossians, it says this, the words I say to you, I do not speak The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now, what I want you to see is you hear people in the Bible and they tell you about Jesus. But when Jesus talks about who he is, he's giving you a firsthand experience of what God is doing in his life and how God is working through him. And God does that through other people as well. And then it goes on and says this, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Now listen, here's what I want you to hear. What was in the Old Testament was good. It was not bad. It was all about the law. It was just incomplete. And so God made it complete when he gave us the New Testament. And now it's about grace. And so we put the two together. Don't just think I'm just going to read the New Testament all the time because the Old Testament doesn't apply. Uh-uh. The Old Testament is full of scripture that points to the New Testament and to the Messiah. And you'll see how it all connected. And you'll think to yourself, God put this all together a long time ago. He said that. And now it's happening. Wow, that's amazing to me how that's happening in our lives today. And it goes on. And in Hebrews, it says this, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. And so we know that it's like the best is yet to come. Because once you know Jesus, not just know about him, but know him, you get a taste of what that's like. It just gets sweeter every day. And you want more and more and more of that. And you seek him and you spend time with him and you listen to him. Now, number two, I told you the first one for last week. And you all very studiously wrote that down. I know you did. You wouldn't have missed it. If you missed it, get somebody else who's taking notes to give it to you, okay? Put it in your phone because we talked about the first one. The second one is this. Number two, Jesus came to illustrate and to demonstrate what God is like. Jesus came to illustrate and to demonstrate what God is like. And he says, if you'll just watch me, if you'll just learn from me, if you'll just spend time with me, then you'll see what God is really like. And that's really the focus of our message today is, hey, look to Jesus, baby Jesus. He's the one we turn to. Now, I want to wrap this up, and I want to give you a conclusion, okay? You still with me? Everybody still here? We're going to get out. Really, you're going to get to go to lunch. It's going to work out, really, okay? Just listen to this last part. The opening ceremonies of the 2024 Olympics in Paris have become the most controversial in history of the Olympics. Much of the pageantry, in my opinion, was despicable and out of touch with respect for basic religious beliefs. The purpose of the opening ceremony of the Olympics is to allow the athletes from each nation to stand with their nation's flag. But the closing ceremony of the Olympics in 2020 did not have athletes standing with their own flag. And that represented the Olympic Games at their best. It was not just people from different nations, but it was people from all over the world walking together as one. We're all human beings on the earth. And it represented the Olympic Games, and that's the real meaning of the Olympics. Now, that tradition started back in 1956, that closing of the Olympics. It was the Melbourne Games, if you remember it. And you might remember that there were a lot of high political tensions back then, and there were some countries who chose not to participate in the Olympics. The games were famous because when the water polo match came about, it was between Hungary and the Soviet Union. It ended in a bloody fight, and they had to call it off before it was finished. There was a 17-year-old Austrian of Chinese descent, and he suggested in an anonymous letter that those games should end with people walking together as one whole own nation, one nation all together. The letter was sent to Kent Hughes, the chairman of the Melbourne Organizers Committee, and he liked the idea, so the closing ceremony took place with people all over the world coming together. It wasn't until 30 years later, in 1986, when the writer of that letter was revealed. His name was John Wing. When questioned about it, he said he wanted history to show that the Olympics could go from bloody to friendly games. Our world today needs to go from competition that is producing bloodshed to community that can produce peace and harmony. We need less walking behind our own flags and walking behind our own thoughts and our own positions, and more walking with other people. We must learn to live together. The word community is comprised of two words, common and unity. Common refers to the fact that everybody is included. Unity refers to togetherness and teamwork and solidarity, and it leads people to live lives that are peaceful and civil and in love. The one who can give us community is God's Son, Jesus Christ. He died to bring all of us into a new relationship to God so that people could live together in harmony meaningfully. Jesus said, God so loved the world, and the world includes everybody. All, not just a select group, not just a segment. Only God can create a community in which people can live in peace. An Australian of Chinese descent, John Wing, he had a great idea for the Olympics. But there was a Jewish carpenter who had a greater idea for changing the understanding of relationships. Our world needs community. Our world needs peace and respect and love. So here's the question I want to ask you today. What opening and closing ceremony does your life project? When people look at you, what do they see? Are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? The devil doesn't need any help in the world to get people fighting with each other, but the Lord's got a better idea. Jesus came to illustrate and to demonstrate what God is like. And then he looked at us and said, follow me. Follow me. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for what he taught us by the way he lived and the life that he shared with us on earth. Thank you for his commitment and sacrifice. Thank thank you for his love. Thank you that he cares about everybody. He wants everybody to come to know you. Thank you that you give us a front row seat to watch him work every day, and you give us divine appointments where we can be a part of leading somebody to Jesus. Lord, we don't do it. You do it through us, but you give us that chance. And so, Lord, while we're here on the earth, and while people are still watching, and while people are still listening, I pray that you would take us and use us for your glory. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Make us the people we need to be in order to be used by you. And we will give you the glory and the praise and celebrate you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children say, amen.